I grew up in Durham, North Carolina. I was there for pretty much my whole life, and then one went to college nearby in Bowie's Creek, which is kind of near Fayetteville. So pretty much the first portion of my life, I was in North Carolina.
What's the name of it? Bowie's Creek?
Bowie's Creek, yeah.
That's a college?
Campbell University is in Bowie's Creek.
Okay. And were you playing sports?
Yeah, I played softball there. It's a Division I college. It's just a small private Christian university.
So do they, like, was there like a division, like a conference?
Yeah, we were in the Big South. It had just moved from, what was it called? They were in before Suns. I don't know something, but we got moved to the Big South when I was there.
Right.
Yeah.
I went to Augusta College, which might be Augusta mm-hmm. something else now, but I think they were in that maybe.
They weren't in the Big South when we were in there.
And what position did you play?
Left field.
And what did you think was going to happen with you, like, sports-wise after school? Like, what did you...
I thought I was completely done when college was done, and I would just go out and get a real job and become an adult.
And what did you think that was? Like, what was your, like, straight...
I wanted to get into sports broadcasts. That was what I wanted to do when I got into college. But then life happened, and then I had a very serious relationship in college, and we wanted to start a family and stuff like that. And to do sports broadcasts, when you start, you're working like terrible hours and
right.
and stuff like that. It's just terrible. I was like, okay, well, that's not going to really work with what my life plan is now. So I was thinking about going into like advertising and marketing and stuff like that. And then we ended up breaking up. And I graduated early, so it was like my last semester of college. I was like, well, shit, now I got to figure out, like, I kind of still want to do sports broadcasting. I'm single and I can do what I want now. Like, so I just, my first job, I worked for the Sacramento Kings doing ticket sales. Because even though that was nothing like I wanted to do, like, I just assumed if I got into, you know, working with a sports team, somehow, some way, it would lead me to meeting the right people to be able to get into sports broadcasts. That was what my thinking on it was. Well, that didn't happen though.
Right. But I don't think that's a horrible way to think. I mean, I think it, like, a lot of really successful people do start on the ground floor wherever they start. So I think like, you know, Roger Goodell was some, like, he used to watch tape for some team. Like, that was his first job. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you're in South Carolina and you wound up going all the way to Sacramento?
North Carolina. North Carolina. And then, yeah, I did a Skype interview, and I remember that was my first ever Skype interview for that team, and I got the job, and then I had never been to California before. And in my head too, I was thinking, like, California, that's where, you know, that's where you get entertainment. That's where you become something. Like, California. Yeah, totally. That's perfect. And then I got to Sacramento and realized it was nothing like, you know, the California I had in my head. And I hated it. Oh man, I hated it. Hated it there.
Why did you hate it in Northern California?
The people were much different than where I'm from. Like, especially, I probably fit in there more now because I'm more jaded and old and miserable all the time. But then I was like fresh out of college and super happy and excited and had lots of energy. And it just felt like everyone there was like, oh, what the hell? Like, calm down, chick. Like, you have, like, what are, like, almost like, what are you up to? Like, you must be up to something. You two have, are too happy and too nice. And so, I was like, okay, well, that's weird. Like, oh, I'm just here trying to, like, make things happen for myself, you know?
And so what were you doing to stay active if you weren't playing softball anymore?
I just went to the gym and, like, would go on walks and stuff like that. I mean, I'd only ever known working out kind of like with my team and having a trainer always tell us what our workouts were going to be, what our running was going to be. So trying to, I mean, the last semester since I graduated early, I didn't play my, cause I mean the season's in the fall. So I didn't play my last semester. So that last semester was kind of me figuring out what to do on my own. And then I graduated and just continued that. And I mean, I didn't really know what I was doing in the gym. I mean, it was like something's better than nothing type of thing. I just went there and did my best.
Like, so there was nobody, were you weren't following like anybody's programming or what you read in magazines or online? You just made it up.
Yeah. I just kind of took exercises and stuff that we did in college and then continued them and tried to keep up my cardio. But I definitely, I mean, looking back on pictures from that time frame, from when I was Sacramento, and then I moved to Texas for a little bit. I was fat. Like, I could see it in my, I mean, fat for me. If you saw, I'm sure if like an actual, like morbidly obese person would see that and get offended by what I'm saying. But for my body and for me, I was fat.
Right. I meant to ask you this going back to the broadcasting thing. Were there specific people, men or women, that you wanted to emulate their...
Erin Andrews. I was like, I want to be Erin Andrews so badly. Yeah, because she was pretty, but she was like, but you respected her. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't just like a piece of meat. Like, you still respected what she did. And I loved Erin Andrews. And then there was another one. My memory, you'll learn, is like very bad.
It's okay.
But there was another one. I think her name was like Brittany something or other. I don't know. But yeah, those were the girls I looked up to.
And then were you watching wrestling as a kid or as a young person?
Yeah, as a kid. But then once I got into like the high school age, I stopped watching it. But like up until probably like middle school with my dad, we'd watch WWE all the time. I didn't watch like New Japan or nothing like that. I just watched WWE with my dad.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think most of us grow up not knowing what New Japan is. Like, before the internet.
Nowadays, you would be surprised. People are into some, like, I'm like, how do you even know about this stuff?
No, it's obviously, it's huge and global, and there's all these different, but I'm saying, but when we were growing up, so obviously I'm older than you, but, you know, yeah. For us, it was WWF, and then it was, like, the local stuff, right? So it was Georgia Championship Wrestling and all that stuff. But we didn't know anything past America, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And who did you like to watch?
I was a huge Edge fan. He was my favorite wrestler, Edge, because I thought he was hot. And so I liked Edge. I liked the Hardy Boys because I knew they were from North Carolina. And like occasionally we'd see them at like an indie show in the area.
Right.
So I liked the Hardy Boys. I liked Lita and Maryse. Those were the girls that I liked.
And when did you remember when you first thought, like, maybe I could take a crack at this?
Oh, God. That wasn't until... I had done my job in Sacramento. I'd done my job in Texas, and I moved back home for a little bit. And I was just like, what the hell am I doing with my life? This is not going the way I thought it would. And I remember my dad one night was just like, hey, you want to go to this indie show? It was like in the boondocks. Because like where we live in North Carolina, it's right on the edge of like the Virginia border. So it was in Virginia, but it was like in the boondocks in the middle of nowhere. And it was a terrible, terrible, shitty indie show. And the next day I just woke up because I was having fun. Like, even though it was terrible, it was fun and funny, and I was just enjoying myself. And I woke up the next day and I was like, oh my God. Like, I used to act when I was young. I've played sports my whole life. Like, this is both of those combined. I should totally do this. And then I just Googled how to become a professional wrestler and found a school to go to, and the rest is history.
Well, I mean, not exactly, right? Like, I mean, you've got like... Day one was what year, what month and what year that you like went to this wrestling school?
Pretty much January 2016 is when I was going to go to a school in Atlanta, actually. So I packed up all my stuff, had it in my car. I was just going to stay with like a friend of a friend that was going to let me stay on the couch until I figured stuff out. And I went to go by the school just to check it out. And it was off of, you live in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
So you probably know what it is. Industrial parts, some sketchy area, like some extremely, and I'm from Durham, like no, I'm not intimidated or scared by much, but even in this case, because like the hotel that I was possibly going to stay in, because it was like the wrestler's hotel that was right next to it, there was people like doing drugs on the outside of it and like saying like, hey, Snow Bunny, come over here, like what's up? And I was like, oh hell no, I'm not staying here by myself. And then the school I thought was fake because it was attached to like some club. It was in the back of some nightclub. And at that point in my life, I didn't know anything about wrestling. I didn't know nothing about wrestling schools. So I didn't realize that's how most freaking wrestling schools are. They're like,
right, cheap. And,
I thought it was gonna be like a standalone, you know, wrestling school.
Right.
So I show up, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is it? And I'd already paid $300 deposit down. I never got that money back. The guy said, fuck you. You're not, no way you're getting this money back. Like you're not coming. Oh, well. So I packed up all my stuff and then I just drove down to Florida. Cause I remember there was a school that I had saw there. And, so I packed up my stuff from his house. I was like, sorry, I can't stay here. I'm leaving. Drove down to Florida and stayed in Kissimmee. They have like a whole bunch of motels on a strip, stayed there for a couple weeks and started going to school in Florida.
And then, I mean, I think that seems like that's pretty recent. Like, that's only a couple years. I mean, do you
five years ago.
It's 2016, 5 years ago?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's just where my head's at. I mean, is that, you know, for you, when did you start? I guess just take us a little bit on the path of, like, because obviously you start out, you do these house shows, you do kind of whatever you can, and then were you progressing along, like, okay, time-wise, this is about where I should be, or tell me how those kind of last few years, like prior to NWA, obviously.
Well, the funny thing about it is I'm glad I didn't know anything about, like, how wrestling is supposed to work, the steps that you know, when I went in. So when I moved to Florida, of course, I was like, I have to have a job. I can't, you know, I need money. So I got my resume together. I got all dressed up and I was driving, because this is when I think it's, even to this day, I think it's better to go and show face and, you know, to meet someone face to face if you want a job. But no, like, no one does it that way anymore. But I was driving around and I had my resumes and I was like, you know what? The Performance Center, the WWE's Performance Center, it's, I know it's in Orlando. Let me figure out where it is and I'll just go stop by there and maybe try to get a job there. And if I work there, I can also train to be a wrestler.
Right.
Like, I didn't know any better. And so I ended up finding the address, which was like impossible to find there, but I'm a woman and, you know, we're detectives. So I did my detective work and I found it. And I showed up and I was sitting in my car and I'm like, I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but, you know, screw it. I'm here, whatever. So everything's like blacked out on the outside. And I walk up and I buzz the buzzer and they're like, hello. And I was like, hi, my name's Kaylee. They're like, do you have an appointment? And I was like, no, honestly, I just moved here. And I'm looking for a job and I'm also interested in becoming a wrestler. And they were like, 1 second. And they let me in. And I talked to like the guy who owns the building and I got basically like the recruiter for WWE's information, sent him an email and I got a tryout. And so to me, it was that easy.
Right.
But at this point I hadn't gone to, cause the school wasn't open until like the next week. And I had moved on a weekend. So the next week I go into wrestling school. And I'm talking to people and I'm like, oh, have you had your tryout yet? And they were like, what? They were like, no. You have to be doing this for years before you get a tryout. And I was like, I could just tell by the temperature of the room.
Right.
Oh shit. You better not tell anybody about this.
Right. Right.
You better not tell anyone that you got a tryout because you will have, I didn't know what heat was at the time, but I was like, you're going to have major heat if people know that you already got a tryout and you're brand new.
Right.
So I kept, so, and when it came out, like, cause things ended up happening and I didn't get that trout didn't happen for like 8 months down the line. But when it did come out that I had one, oh, the people in there were pissed, talking so much shit. And I had my tryout and basically it was like the biggest women's tryout they had cause they were looking for their first, people for their first ever Mae Young Classic.
Right.
And which is an all women's tournament type thing. And at that
what year is this again?
This was 2016 when I moved there. I don't know if my tryout was 16 or 17 because it was like 8 months after. I want to say it was still 2016, but so I don't think that Mae Young happened.
But you were training with them leading up to this tryout?
I was training, but I had no match experience because I was still in beginner's class.
Right.
But with wrestling, you have to do beginner stuff and then you find – I mean, different schools do it different ways, but that's how we did it at Team 3D.
So you weren't in there – you were training with somebody else is what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, you don't go. No, the only way you train at the Performance Center is if you're signed by WWE.
Got it.
Yeah. So when I went to my tryout, I wasn't working the indies yet. I had no match experience. I just had like the basics, you know, down. And so basically after my tryout, Canyon, the guy, the like, how you'd call him, I guess, like the recruiter man, said, hey, we really love your look. You're a great athlete. But right now, we just need people that are TV ready. He was like, go out, get experience, and we'll talk later. So, like, okay, cool. You know, that's not like a no. It's not a negative, but it's just like you need to work some matches. So I go back to the school, and I tell them, hey, this is what they said. And at that time, the Dudleys, they were still signed to WWE. So they weren't there a lot, and they were the only people that could, like, clear you to go work the indies. And eventually I was like, man, this is never going to happen. I'm not going to be able to get a chance for like another year at this rate. And so I just said, screw it. I stopped going to the school and I took a little break and I started playing in the Legends Football League. And people think that I did that. Like, I literally did that for my wrestling career because I wanted my gimmick to be this football player. And I was like, I'm going to make it legit and actually do it.
Right.
So, and I was like, at that point, when I come back, there'll be enough time that I wasn't at the school where it'll be forgotten about and it doesn't matter, right? So I played football for like 6 months, and then I did like a run-in and speared someone to like get my wrestling back going. Next day, I had a call from Devon, and he was like, what the fuck? You're in big trouble type thing. Because I hadn't got – and I was like, dude, like, really? It's a run-in. Like, who cares? And so we had heat for a while, but, like, now we're all good. But, yeah, wrestling is weird.
But talk to me about that process. Like, did you try out for the league, or did you try it for a specific team for the football?
Yeah, the closest team was in Atlanta. So, I mean, I would drive 7 hours to practice every single weekend, 7 hours back, every single freaking weekend for 2.5 days of practice, because we would do Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, come back, and then have my regular job during the week.
And what were you doing to make money?
Then at that time was because I worked at IHOP for like 2 weeks when I first moved there. And then I was like, this is terrible. And then I worked for a timeshare company just doing phone call stuff.
Right.
And then I was a registered behavioral therapist for kids with like super low functioning autism. And then I turned that into, I met a few people that wanted basically like one-on-one for their kids / nanny.
Right.
So I don't know. I can't remember if I was doing the calls or if I was an RBT at that point. Like I said, my memory is really bad with that stuff, but I was one of the two.
It's okay. So you were playing for the steam.
Mm-hmm.
How much water do you need to drink a day these days?
Mm.
She's holding up a giant thing.
A gallon. I really truly believe that everyone's bodies are different. And like my fiance, for instance, he'll drink like 2 gallons a day, and his pee will still be like yellow and he'll be dehydrated.
Right.
I don't need to drink like anything, and my pee is clear and I feel fine. But my coach is like, you have to drink a gallon a day. And I hate it. I hate drinking water. I just pee all day long.
Yeah. So I think I told you, so my wife bodybuilds, she started a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And, she already, like, she's had ever since, so we have 3 kids, and ever since she's had the kids, she has no bladder. So that's pretty much what she does 24/7 is go.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I can't go anywhere because I have to know that I'm going to have a toilet available so I can go pee.
Right. But I want to hear about trying out for the football team. How hard was it? Were you a better than average athlete than most of the women there? Like, talk to me about that process. Like, you drive up to Atlanta to try out?
Yeah, drove to Atlanta to try out. Funny enough, the head coach, huge wrestling fan, which I found out like later on, but it was just basically like combine type of drills and, you know, to get your speed on certain things and see if you had any hands and if you were good at defense. And I was confident that I would make the team just because I am a good athlete. Like, unfortunate, except for softball, I would say I'm extremely proficient and very, very, very good at softball. But other than that, I'm just pretty good at a lot of things. I kind of dabble in lots of things.
Right.
And so I knew that I probably wouldn't be like the best player ever on the team, but I knew I would make the team. And I did. And I ended up being like, when they announced who made the team, they kind of go from like the first picks to the last. I was like one of the first picks because apparently this is going to sound extremely vain and extremely conceited, and you wouldn't be able to tell right now because I just woke up and this is me. But when I do my hair and makeup, I can look like a nice lady. And that's also a part of the LFL because they want people to be like faces of the brand.
Right.
So when we'd have game day and stuff like that, I'd also before game day have to do like photo shoots and stuff right. like that.
But I have seen it, and you guys do take hits. Like
God,
for
yeah.
People who've watched it, it is not a joke. Like, yes, well, you're wearing underwear, but they are going at it.
Well, people think that because the lingerie football league, which also LFL, now it's Legends Football
right.
League. So lingerie, it was just kind of models prancing around, and they still get hit, but it was kind of like, yeah.
Right, but you guys are wearing like bikinis, basically.
Yeah, but now I compare to the gear to more to like what like beach volleyball players wear.
Right.
And they don't. It doesn't look like lingerie. It's more just like that type of thing, and it's just big bitches killing one another.
Yes. Yeah,
like I would sit there sometimes and watch a hit, and I'd be like, "Oh, like, well," because the thing is, the padding is like not real padding because they want us to be able to show off our boobs and stuff, and so it's like not real padding. And then the face mat—it's just so unsafe, so unsafe.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
Okay, and what position?
I played defensive end and lineman.
Okay.
I was a big fan of defensive end, not so much lineman, but it was just because you have to be extremely smart when it comes to football. And it being my first year, that was much harder. Than defensive end was just kind of like seeing attack, which was easy for me. Lineman was a much more difficult task.
Right. Well, I mean, I think this stuff's really important because I think for people to know, because to the average person, if you see, it could look like a quote unquote glamorous life, right? Because you do look great on game day, right?
But that's why people tell me all the time, people like, I'll have people from high school and stuff, and they'll be like, oh, your life is so cool. You're doing it. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I promise you, it's not.
Right. So I want people to understand that the path you're on, like the hustle, the mentality it takes, like, no one handed you anything. You're fucking driving 7 hours, right? After working a full time job. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not just being talented. It's not just being, you know, built a certain way. Like, it's hard work, and you're doing that clearly.
Well, I will say too, because this, it doesn't get to me as far as like hurting my feelings, but it's a bit annoying sometimes, because even with my fiance, when I first met him, like, he's been doing this since he was 16.
So, wrestling, you mean?
Yes. So that which is exactly to this point, half of his life.
Right.
So for me to be getting the same opportunities now as him or anyone else in the business that they feel like they've been like putting in work for however long, I'm like, I understand that, but you don't understand what I've done my entire life. When I went to school, I never had spring breaks. I never got to go hang out on the weekends. I've been working my ass, just because it's not in the wrestling like field, I've been working my ass off since I was in school, you know, to be able to do these things and be able to be the athlete that I am today. And a lot of people, they will like, they think that they see you all of a sudden and they didn't like know you on your come up. So you came out of nowhere to them. And it's like, no, you haven't seen this behind the scenes stuff that I've been doing forever, whether it be in wrestling or in anything else. And like, that's the most kind of frustrating thing for me, is that a lot of people just think I've been handed these things. And I'm like, dude, you don't know the shit that I've fucking gone through for this. But yeah.
So, you got in trouble for playing football. That's where you left off.
Well, not for playing football. I got in trouble for working, which doing a run in on an indie show.
Okay.
Without getting cleared to go work, which it's a weird thing, because it's more like a unwritten rule / respect thing. It's not like I'm under contract that needs to be signed off to go do this. It's just disrespectful, or you know what I'm saying, that I didn't get cleared by them to go work the independence.
Right.
But I was at that point, I don't know, you'll know about me, I'm a pretty laid back person. And I believe in like mutual respect. Like, I don't care what label you have by your name. Like, let's just have some mutual respect here. And so I just felt like I knew what was best for my career, especially the fact that they told me I need to go work matches. I was like, I need to go work matches. Like, I need, that's literally what they told me to do. And at that point, WWE was the end all be all. That was the only place to go. That was either make it or break it. So if I didn't go there, what else was I going to do? So I wanted to follow exactly what WWE told me to do by go working matches. So I did the indies for like 7 months, and I was doing very well for myself. Like, if you go back and watch the matches, I didn't do anything, but I got over with the crowd. I just did. And I was doing really well. But once again, I'm a hopeless romantic, and met someone, and they're also a wrestler. They're with WWE, and they didn't really like the fact that I wrestled. They didn't really want to date anyone else in the business. And it was a very, like, not good relationship anyway. It was back and forth all the time. And eventually I was like, well, if he's going to commit to doing this, then maybe I just shouldn't wrestle anymore, and it will just be good to go. You know what I'm saying? So when that fell through, and I was kind of done with wrestling business anyway, just because I realized, like, if you come from a sports background and you get in wrestling, it's, you would think, like I did, that it would go hand in hand, but it is just a different animal. It's just, it's so political, so backstabby. So it's just like in sports, if you put in the work, your stats speak for themselves and you get playing time or you don't. And in wrestling, if you were great and people really liked you and stuff, it created, like, that was great for the fans, but the team, if you will, there's no team, but the people backstage hated you for it. And I was just like, what the hell? Because I always come from a team where, like, your team wants you to do good, because if you do good, the whole team does good, you know? So it was just a weird, weird, like, thing for me, and I was kind of over it. Then we didn't work out, and I moved back home for a little bit, and I was just like, damn, like, what the hell's going on here? This is a mess. And but I did miss wrestling a little bit, and I had put in a lot of time and effort for it, you know what I'm saying? And wrestling, it's kind of like one of those things that, like, once you do it, it's really hard to get out of. And then I got a call from David Lagana, who was like the co-president or co-owner or whatever for NWA, and he was just like, are you really done wrestling? And I was like, I don't know why, like, what you got? So that's when we kind of transitioned to the Camille thing, and now we're here.
Well, you know, you mentioned something interesting about getting over with the crowd, and so real quick, so I grew up in the heyday, right? Like I watched that famous WrestleMania 3 with Hulk and Andre. Like, I watched it on the big screen at the Fox Theater. Like, it was a huge fucking deal, right? And then, like a lot of people my age, you kind of fall out of it until you have kids, right?
Yeah.
So I about 3 years ago, maybe four now, I met Charles Robinson, referee in the WWE. We become friends. I start taking my kids to matches, and we start watching Raw, and I love it again. And I don't watch every week. I don't have the network, but I've become like this casual fan of wrestling again. But what I was going to say was, you know, when you say, like, the crowd loves me, and that's what's great about wrestling, is that it doesn't matter necessarily if the company wants to put you over. The fans are going to let you know if they're going to put you over or not. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause it happens a lot where, like, they try to have someone turn and it doesn't work because we're not buying it. The fans aren't buying it. And so, what do you think you have, or what do you focus on that helps you, like, be a crowd favorite?
Well, I think one thing, and this is something that you are born with, is just, like, my build and my presence is not something that you're going to see every day or, you know, be around every day, because I am a large gal, and just my facials. I before people get to know me, everyone thinks that I'm a big bitch and that I'm mean,
right?
And that's okay. It's just what it is. And so, but it works. It works for my character, and it works for TV. And then I like to think that I don't do a lot of stuff, but the things I do look realistic. And I think that's a big part of it, because there's some cool stuff that people do, but it will just kind of look like girls dancing. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Whereas me, when you're in the ring with me, it's going to look like a fight. And so I think it's something that's a bit different, because this is going to be a controversial or whatever, but a big compliment that I've gotten before is that you wrestle like a guy. And I like that. To me, that means that it looks intense and it looks realistic, and I'm proud of that.
Right.
So I'm not offended by that. I'm not super feminist where it's like, oh my God, well, girl power. Like, no, thank you. I appreciate it. Cause to me, it means my stuff looks tough.
Right. Well, and you know, 5'10", you're not like a giant. You're tall for a woman, but you're not, you know.
No, I'm tall for a girl, yes.
Like, how tall is, like, Nia Jax? Like, how tall is she?
We're about the same height. I've stood beside her before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the last, talk to me about kind of the last year or so when there hasn't been, like, wrestling crowds.
Well, for NWA as a whole, 2020 was a just huge, huge, huge disappointment, because we had so much steam. we were supposed to start doing live events and touring and stuff. That got all just torn to pieces. And now we're having to rebuild pretty much from scratch again. And we're behind a paywall with Fight TV. So just trying to expand the brand while being behind a paywall and get it out has been a bit tough. But I think now we're going to start getting some fans back here soon, which is nice because not wrestling in front of a crowd, it's actually not as weird as you would think it would be.
Yeah. No, I thought it was going to be horrible because you guys do live off the crowd. But then when I started watching the matches that WWE was putting on, it turned out to be pretty decent.
Yeah. I guess because you're so focused on what you're in there doing anyway, that it's like, whatever. Because the first time I did it was in like California for something that we were doing. And I thought it was going to be freaking weird. Like, I was like, oh God, it's going to be awkward. But it really wasn't. But I will say, like, watching it back, even just with the crowd, it's so much better. It's just so much better with the crowd.
And so what do they, are they working on getting like a bigger sponsor so that they don't have to do the paywall thing? Cause that is, you know, that is kind of a big prohibitive.
I'm not sure how long the contract with Fight is. I don't know. So, I know that I believe in September, we're going to start having tapings with a crowd and fans and stuff like that and people being able to come out. So once we're able to do stuff like that, I think that we'll be able to grow, because even if people don't know, don't pay for NWA right now, people love going to live event. I mean, it's like if you want to go to a sporting event, like if you're a fan of sports, you're going to go to a live sporting event, whether you follow the team or not, if your friends invite you, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when we start working cities, people are going to come and it's going to grow organically in that way.
Right. So what is the plan?
I don't want to give away too much now, but we have a plan. Trust me.
Oh, you're not allowed to say.
You know, I'm not saying until they announce it, but it's, it's good. It's good. We're going to be changing some stuff up and getting some fans there.
So. Okay. All right. Well, all right. I guess we'll stay tuned for that. I was going to ask you, one of the reasons I reached out to you was you had posted about some of this, you know, some of this mental health stuff. And I'm someone that I was diagnosed bipolar at 40, like six, which trust me was a wake up call to me because because, you know, I'm very outgoing type A, like I've always had my own business kind of that. And as my wife said, like, you've always kind of like run hot. So my manic stuff just kind of was like, oh, well, that's just how Matt is. Right. Mm-hmm. And the downs weren't that noticeable, but then this last time around, you know, I don't know what it's like for you, but when you're up, you're like, well, this is the best. I'm getting so much work done.
Well, and I'll tell you, I miss mania. Like, I miss it. That's not like now it's just like, and I guess you can understand more, you know, cause you experience it. Like a lot of people too, like if someone's moody, they're like, oh, she's bipolar. And not with me, like with other people, oh, they must be bipolar. Like, because they're freaking one day sad, one day. I'm like, no, bro, like you don't, it's not what it is. Like it truly is. Even looking back to like when I lived in Texas, for instance, I would go out and I never did drugs because, my brother had gotten some stuff a long time ago and I was just, I vowed to never touch drugs, but I drank and stuff like that. And so, I mean, I'd be out partying until like 3 a.m., take a little nap, go work out at 5, go to work, do it all over again for months. And, I just thought I was young and spontaneous, and I'm sure that's part of it. But now it's been very hard too, because so I got on medicine and I was on it for a year. And at first, it was life changing. Well, I mean, like I was like, this is what it feels like to feel normal. Like there's no chaos going on in my brain. Like, right. Like, you know, like this is really nice. This is amazing. And I almost got a little bit of mania when I initially got on it, just because the feeling of like, wow, I feel great. Then eventually, you know, you kind of taper off, everything balanced. Then it doesn't work so well after a while. And they, like, she wanted me to go up on my dosage. Right. And I got my blood work done for this bodybuilding stuff. And my cholesterol was way high. And I was like, what the hell? And then I was talking to her about it. She was like, well, that's part of it. And for the first 2 months of this prep, 2 months of dieting, didn't lose any weight. No fat was coming off. And we were like, what is going on? And so I got off my medicine in February, and the fat finally started coming off, the weight finally started coming off. But I mean, it's just, it's still like, that's why I had to pull out of my show, because my skin was not thinning out how it's supposed to. My insulin is super resistant. Like, and my body is just so the medicine thing is just like, it's, and I talk about it with my fiance a lot. It's one of those things like pick your poison. It's, you know, it's, it can help save your life. It can help, like, my suicidal thoughts are like pretty much non-existent when I'm on it. But at the same time, it's like, especially the industry that I'm in, unfortunately, and my look and my character in general, I need to keep a certain body type. And right. It's just like, it's, listen, that's mentally, I'm in a very weird, place right now, trying to deal with all of this.
Kaylee, I really understand, because I went, you know, unfortunately I took it, things didn't work. And you start to think, well, nothing's going to work. And every day feels like a week, right? You're like, yeah, my head won't fucking shut up. And I found some meds that worked. Okay. And I'm a runner and I love to run. Like, that's what I do. Like, that's my happy space. That's what keeps me, whatever. I'm not it's like my wife and I are opposites. My wife's a gym rat. I'm a runner, and neither of us do the other. But I couldn't run without, like, my hair would stand on my end and my body would slow down. And it was like, okay, well, I can either be sane or not run. Like, that doesn't seem right.
Right.
So I had to try different meds, and I'm at a good point now, and I've been on the same ones for years. And but I totally get that idea, because it seems so unfair, right? Why should I have to choose sanity over how I look or how I feel, right?
Yeah, totally. And it's just one of those things too, because it's like, okay, well, you'll be feeling good, but then you're going to fall into a depression of sorts because of this other reason, because of the medicine, you know? And it's just like, and the medicine thing was weird for me too, because in college I was diagnosed with depression, because it's very, you get misdiagnosed when you have bipolar a lot of the times, because a lot of the times, like, you said, like, when you're manic, you're loving life. So why would you go to see a doctor then, you know? But so you usually go in a depressive state, and they just kind of, okay, you have depression. So I was on a depression medication in college, and that fucked me up. Like, because when you have bipolar, that can be extremely bad to get on just a depression medication. So I vowed, I was like, never taking medicine again. And so I went years on nothing. And then eventually got to a point where, you know, I was just talking to my fiance, and we were like, we gotta do something about this. Like, this is no way to live. So that's when I got diagnosed with bipolar two. Like I said, cause I don't do drugs or anything like that. So when I'm in mania, I don't like, to go into psychosis or anything like that.
Right. I never did either. And so that's why I never thought I had a problem. I mean, I did like dye my hair blonde, which people thought was weird. And again, I tell people, just because you dye your hair blonde at 40, whatever years old, doesn't mean you're manic. But in my case, it did. Like, when I see pictures, I'm like, that guy's fucking crazy.
No, it's just, well, like, it is funny. It's funny, the stuff you look back on, you know, and you're like, oh, well, that probably does explain some things for sure. Like, I've had even the dyeing the hair stuff. I have a history of dyeing my hair, you know, different colors when I feel like
But look at me, dude. I'm like as kind of like straight as they come. Like, I'm a pretty normal dad. And like, all of a sudden I'm like walking around with this white hair, and like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. Why can't I do this? What's the problem?
I feel great.
Exactly. Life is awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's we were talking about it. Sorry. I talk about my fiance a lot, cause that's my best bud.
It's okay.
And we were just, and he's very helpful and supportive of me trying to figure out the best, like, route to go on and figure all this out. And with the show not happening, it was very hard for me, because I'm very, like, purpose driven, and really the only way I can, like, get going and get out of bed and get in a routine is when I have a goal to always go towards. So now that I'm not doing the show, it's just like, oh, like, I need to figure out, like, yeah, I have wrestling, but the thing is, we only do tapings once every couple months. So it's figuring out that in between, and what I have my real estate license, but the market is insane here right now. And it's just like a big stressor. And I'm just kind of like, whatever comes to me comes. I'm not really pushing for that right now, but I need to be active. I need to, like, when I'm in the gym and stuff, that's the only time that my brain is not going nuts.
Right.
I'm focused on what I'm doing, my muscle groups, my, you know what I'm saying? So unfortunately, I wish I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, I wish I could just chill on the couch and relax. I really do. But I try to do that, but the whole time I'm just like, oh, la, 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 la. So I need something. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm actually thinking about today going by like a boxing place and seeing if I can like do some classes or something to help with my in-ring cardio anyway. And just, cause like I said, I like to dabble.
Clearly.
Cause I always need something. I need something to work towards.
Right. So, what show were you going to do? Like which, like where was it or?
It was in Junior Nationals in Chattanooga, which is only 3 hours away from me, and it was going to be an awesome show, awesomely ran. Yeah, that was a big, big – I mean, dude, I've been dieting since January. I hadn't had a cheat meal since freaking January. I had – you know, like, it was – ugh, tough.
Well, how is that working, though, with the wrestling schedule?
Well, I was going to be 2 weeks out at these next tapings, and I did tapings – last time when I was a week and a half out, but the thing was I was in such a good place with where my body should be, and like, yeah, I was on low calorie and stuff, but everything was going how it was supposed to, that I had enough adrenaline.
I wasn't starving.
No, and in this case I would have been starving. All I wanted to do this past couple weeks is sleep anyway, and these tapings are if you have a big role in the company, it is very stressful. It is just plain and simple. You're having to do multiple matches in a day, multiple promos. It's a lot.
Right.
And so for 3 days of having to do that on top of freaking starving and doing like 2 hours of cardio, I was like, I won't be there for the tapings, and the NWA is what pays my bills, not bodybuilding. So right. I had to make that decision.
Right. So, I guess what's the next few months look like for you?
Get these tapings out of the way. We'll see what happens with those. and then like I'm working with my coach to try, cause we're still dieting down, cause we're trying to thin my skin out still and get this. It's like, it's hard to explain for people that don't know anything about bodybuilding. Cause if they looked at me, I'm sure they'd be like, oh, you look fine. But like, I know what's supposed to be happening. And, so working on getting my insulin sensitivity back, my metabolism back, and reversing properly out, that's going to be a big, big factor, just because I need to be able to – I shouldn't eat one bad meal and get like I do. Like my body should be like running full circuit, and if I need a refeed meal or something like that, it should be like boom and feel great and then back to it, where that's not happening right now.
Right.
My body is extremely like it like has to, like the only way I can stay like this is like on extremely low calories, and it's just not good.
Right. And is the goal, I mean, let me put it this way. Like once upon a time, like WWE was it, right? And now with all these other brands and like, mm-hmm. it's always been like, you know, rumors come out like, oh, they don't treat people that well. And it's like, well, that's what you got to deal with if you're going to be with them. And now there's like AEW and people are leaving. And do you think about like long-term those things?
Honestly, the ultimate goal would be not having to go to WWE and
make enough money, being successful enough.
Yep. On my own and doing other things, like having other things, not wrestling involved, and making money from different revenues. Because the thing about WWE, especially now, unless they change this by the time that if I were to go there, but they took away being able to work with third parties. And that is just like, well, I'm an independent contractor. You can't do that. Like, you don't even pay for my health care. Screw you. You know, like, that's insane to me. And so while WWE is great exposure and you can really set yourself up for life, I wouldn't be opposed to going there if that's what I needed to do. But the ultimate goal would be to not have to. Right now I have so much freedom to be able to do what I want with my real, and like with wrestling, I've said this a million times, the only way for someone like me, and like you should understand this, to stay sane in it at all is to have a separate reality in real life and know, okay, this is real life, this is what's going on. Because I've been around it enough to know that the WWE people, it becomes their reality and they get like, whoo.
They can't see outside it.
No. And it's a nasty, nasty cycle. And I really would rather not.
Yeah. You know what? The biggest wake up call to me was knowing how hard all these people work. So the first year I started watching it again, 3 or 4 years ago, and watching how hard all these people work, right? And it was like the buildup and the buildup and the buildup to WrestleMania. WrestleMania happens, right? The next day, they're on Raw again. And I was like, they don't get a fucking day off? Like, no. That is insane. No. Like, they literally work all effing year. And I was like, wow.
I know plenty of people that put in time off for certain, like they put it in months in advance to, and they would buy their vacation, like pay for it already. You could get taken away from them. They would, no, you need to come in. Like stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, it is one of those things you have to look at it. That's what I'm saying. Like if I could look at it and be like, all right, I would put my nose to the grindstone for 5 years and just be in prison for 5 years to set myself up. Is that a possibility? Yes. Would I rather do it another way? Of course, right. You know?
Do you think maybe if when Vince finally keels over, it might change?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good point, but like, honestly, internally things might change for the better. But for someone like me, the way I work and stuff is old school. And so I don't know about all this new school stuff, to be honest with you. It's just not really my style. So I don't know in some ways it would be better and in some ways it probably wouldn't be better.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad we had a chance to chat.
Yeah, same. Sorry. It was a back and forth for the longest, but we made it happen.
Do you want to tell people like Instagram or where they can support you or anything like that?
Yeah. So Instagram, I'm at Camille with a K, Brickhouse. And then also follow the NWA. It's not the rap group. It's NWA Wrestling.
People my age know that it's a wrestling thing, but yes, it's also a rap group.
Well, we get comments sometimes. It's like, I came here for the rap group. What is this? But yeah. NWA Wrestling, and then we have a pay-per-view coming up on June 6th when our shadows fall. So even if you don't know what's going on, you know, with the storylines and stuff, it might just be a fun thing to watch with you and the family. So give it a try, buy it, and yeah, support NWA Wrestling.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.